Morning, everyone. Good to see you. Lovely to have the sun shining. We're continuing in our series this morning. We started a couple of weeks ago, and the series is based around a book called What on Earth Am I Here For? And we've been looking at some of those questions of life that people are often asking themselves around this whole subject, what on earth am I here for? So we're continuing that this morning. We've been looking this morning at belonging and what it means to belong to God. And that's what we're going to be looking at later on today. But I'm just so happy that the sun is shining. It's the summer ball this evening. It's not too late to get your ticket. That's really good news. If you're not quite organized enough, haven't actually bought mine yet, but I can still come this evening. Excellent news. The sun is shining, and that just reminds me of one thing. Great. So in the movie, they were singing about how they would always be together, about how they belonged together. They were a very distinct couple of groups in the film there, the T-Birds and the Pink Ladies. They even had matching jackets, didn't they? So everyone could know that they really belonged together and they were part of a group. And that sense of belonging is a deep need within every human heart. We all want to belong. We all have the need to belong somewhere and to feel like we fit in and like there is a place for us. And that's what we're going to look at this morning, how we are called to belong. So we started a couple of weeks ago. Sian continued beautifully for us last week about how we are called to be loved. It's a fantastic talk. If you missed out, do catch up on the internet. It was really good. And today we're looking at how we are called to belong. And what does that mean for us? What does it mean that we belong to God? Well, a good place to start is always the dictionary, checking out the meanings and looking at where things are coming from. So I looked up the word belong, and this is what it said. To be rightly placed in a specified position, to fit in a specified place or environment. So that speaks about how belonging means that you are created to be in a particular place, to be placed in a certain position, that you are made in a particular way to go into a specific place or environment. So God has made us in that special way so that we will belong to Him. But how do we belong to God? What did God do so that we could belong to Him? How is it that we belong to God? Well, it says this in 1 Corinthians, you do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So we belong to God because He paid a price for us. God bought us at a high price. He paid the greatest price He possibly could. And that was the sacrifice on the cross of His own Son, Jesus. So Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for all the wrong things that we have done that separated us from God. Jesus died to bring us back to God, paid the price for us so that we belong to God. So we belong to God, not in a possessive or a selfish way, but in a way of something that is really good. Have you ever saved up for something? There's something that you really want to buy, but you don't quite have enough money at the time, so you save. If you're at school, you save your pocket money to buy a particular toy, or when you're grown up, you save up for a deposit on a house or to buy your first car or something like that. Well, you save and you sacrifice and you save, and then when eventually you can buy what you wanted, you really treasure that thing, don't you? You feel, wow, I sacrificed to get this. I'm going to look after it. I'm going to take great care of it. And that is the way that God treasures us. We belong to God because He treasures us. He paid a great price for us, and He loves us so much. We are His special treasured possession, and we belong to Him. Now, that word belong, I wanted to go a little bit deeper into it and see where exactly it came from, because I'm an English teacher at heart and there's no getting away from it. So this word belong comes from an old English word, galang. And this word galang meant originally to be at hand or together with. And that's what it is with God, isn't it? We are together with Him. We are at hand with Him. It speaks of how we are close by. We are near him. We are close to him. We are close together. And I find that so encouraging and so comforting to think that we belong to God. We are his. He paid a price for us. He bought us. We belong to him. And he treasures us. He treasures us so much. So God has called us to belong to him. And he made us to be in his family. God formed us for that specific position to be in his family. And the family of God has a special name. The family of God is called the church. And we're called to belong to the church. God's family is where we belong. And his family is called the church. It says this in Ephesians. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So God planned that you and me would be part of his family. It's what he decided to do. He made a plan, he worked it out, and it gave him great pleasure. So it wasn't like, now I've got to put these people in my family. I've made them. I don't know what to do with them. God wanted us to be in his family. It gave him great pleasure. Although there was sacrifice involved, he treasures us. And us being in his family gives him great pleasure. So we are the church. We are the family of God. Wherever we go, whatever we do. The church isn't an event or a location or a program or a building. It's a relationship. It's something that we all enjoy being part of together. So if you're a visitor here this morning, you're not really a visitor. You're part of the family. You belong here because this is the church. We are the church. It's a relationship, not confined to a structure, but it's something that's living and something that is real between every single one of us. And not just in Swansea, not just in Wales, even in England, the church is there too. And all over the rest of the world. God's family, the church, is universal. It's all over the world. So wherever we go, if we walk into a church in any other country, they are our family. They are our brothers and sisters. Paul said this when he wrote to Timothy, "I'm writing these things to you now, then even if I'm delayed, you will know how to live in the family of God." That family is the church of the living God, the support and foundation of truth. And the church meets our need to belong. Like Tim had those slides up this morning for the kids' spot. There's no one here who doesn't fit in. There is no one who cannot belong to the family of God. It's all inclusive. God chose every single one of us, and he desires that we belong to him and that we know what it is to truly feel treasured and loved by him. So the church meets our need to belong. And in the Bible, there are different names and different pictures given to the church that help us to understand what it means to be belonging to God. So last week, we learned a little bit about Wi-Fi, or Wi-Fi, as it's known in some places. Well, this morning, we're going to be looking at an ISP. It's not an internet service provider this morning, but it's identity, support, and productivity. So it's not Virgin Media or Sky or TalkTalk. This is the church, and it provides connectivity to God. We plug into him through the church, and we understand who we are, why we are here. We know that we are loved, and we know where we belong. So everyone is looking to connect. Everyone wants to connect, don't they? When you move house, I know we moved house recently, the first thing you want to do is make sure that the broadband is in the new house. You don't want to lose connectivity. You don't want any time to go by where you can't hook on to the internet. So as the church, we always have that connectivity to God. It's broadband 24/7. We can always connect to him. And that's why we're looking at our sermon series and the talks and the books that we're doing in our small groups, in our discussion groups, talking about what on earth am I here for? Because as the church, we have the answers. And we're going to look at some different pictures that the Bible gives us. The first one we've already touched on this morning is in God's family. So there's a lovely picture of the family of God. The church is like a family. And in God's family, I learn my true identity. This is what it says in 1 John 3. See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children. So we learn our identity in the family of God. How do we know who we are? Because God is our Father. So that makes us his children. It makes us together each other's brothers and sisters. We know who we are in the family of God because God calls us his children. And our identity flows from our relationships. In different contexts, we are different things to different people. We might be a husband, a colleague, a neighbour, a son, a daughter. We are all those different things in different situations. But what gives us our identity, how we know who we are deep down inside, is that we have a God who calls us Father. So wherever we are, whatever the challenges, the situation that we're going through, we know that we belong to God and he has called us a son or a daughter. We know that God is our Father and he has called us to be his children. And our spiritual family is our forever family. We will all be together forever. Isn't that great? Some of you are not quite so sure. As a spiritual family, this is our forever family. God is our Father. We are brothers and sisters. We belong together. God has called us and placed us here. And we are always his children. We can't go away from that. We might be in different places, doing different things, called to different responsibilities, but we are always a son or a daughter of God. God is our Father wherever we are and whatever we're doing. We are never a stranger to him. It says this in Ephesians, you're no longer wandering exiles. This kingdom of faith is now your home country. You're no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong here. So we are not strangers in the family of God. We know who we are. We are accepted. We are loved. We are joined together. And we have things in common as well. Families have special traditions, special things that they do together. And as the family of God, we share things in common. We share a common freedom and hope and a future. We are journeying together, all of us journeying together in our Christian lives. And these things connect us. We all have amazing promises in the Bible, and we share those things, the promises that God has given to each one of us as individuals. The promise of his Holy Spirit. God promised that he would pour out his Holy Spirit on all people. So if you're a person here this morning, that promise is for you. God promised to pour out the Holy Spirit on all people. And that marks us out as being part of the family of God. It's in our identity. In the same way that a school uniform shows that you belong to a particular school, or if you're in the armed forces, you wear a particular uniform, you know which part of the organisation you belong to. If you're a policeman or even a lollipop lady, the way that you look shows who you are. A few years ago, we were in Brazil, and we put the children to bed and went out for a little walk down the road to the shop, and we were quite happy, just out for a walk, me and Jez. And then we noticed that people around us were like looking at us really funny, and I started to feel a little bit uncomfortable. I didn't really understand what was happening or what we'd done. We went down to the shop, bought the crisps and Coke or whatever it was, came back, and By the time we got back to where we were staying, we were both thinking, what is going on? What have we done? Why are people looking at us? So we asked our Brazilian friends, what's the deal here? What's going on? And they said, Jez, did you wear that football shirt when you went to the shop? He said, yes. That football shirt is the shirt of the rivals of the team where you are currently living. That's why people were looking at you in a funny way. So we were wearing, Jez was wearing something that meant that he didn't belong, he didn't fit in. It was very obvious, and it was obvious to everyone else and to us as well, that that we didn't belong in that location because of what we were wearing. But as believers, we are clothed in the Holy Spirit, and we have that identity. It's the Holy Spirit who comes upon us and helps us to belong and moves in our lives. And a public way of showing that we belong to the family is the act of baptism. And we had some here a few weeks ago. It was fantastic for people getting baptized, standing up and saying to everyone, I belong. I am identifying myself publicly through baptism that I am part of the family of God. And even Jesus was baptized. And you know, Jesus, when he was baptized, he hadn't yet done anything. He hadn't done any miracles or performed any healings. But when God spoke over Jesus at his baptism, we feel the fatherly pride in the voice of God when he says, this is my son, and in him I am well pleased. And that is the fatherly pride that God has over every single one of us. We belong to him. He treasures us. He speaks over us and he says, look, this is my daughter, this is my son, and I'm pleased with you and I love you. So we are belonging to the family, and we are all different. We are all different, every single one of us. We have similarities, but we have many differences, but we choose to belong together to the family of God. It's a bit like the herd in Ice Age. Have you seen Ice Age? Great movie. But, I mean, look at them. They are all different. They're not even the same species. Two possums, two mammoths, a saber-toothed tiger, and, of course, Sid the Sloth. But they all belong together. They have chosen to become a family together. Their appearance doesn't matter, but they feel that they belong. They know they belong together, and they support one another. So that's our family, where we find our identity. So in God's temple, I am supported. In God's temple, I'm supported. You're not a lone ranger. But you know, even the lone ranger had a friend, didn't he? There they are there. There's Armie Hammer dressed up, looking like a law-abiding marshal. And there's Johnny Depp. I think he's just wearing his own clothes. They had each other. The Lone Ranger wasn't really on his own. He still had a friend. He still had Tonto, who went around with him. They supported each other. They held each other up. And it says this in Ephesians, we are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord, where God lives by his Spirit. So God has joined us together, and we are a temple for him. It's a bit like, we're all little Lego bricks. You know Lego. I'm sure we have all played with it as children. And Lego is designed to connect. It is made for a purpose, and it's designed to connect to other pieces of Lego. Now, when it's just one Lego brick on its own, it's still a Lego brick, but it's not fulfilling the purpose for which it was designed. It was made to be connected and to become a part of other Lego bricks. I was reading in the news this week, apparently in Times Square, the largest Lego model has been unveiled. It's actually a Star Wars X-Wing fighter. So, yeah, it's awesome. If you look really close, you can see there are also Lego C-3PO and a Lego R2-D2. And those people are actual people. They're not Lego people. So you get an idea of how massive this model really is. It took 32 master builders to put it together. That is a big box and a lot of instructions. So I hope no one's children are planning on putting that on their Christmas list. But this is a huge model made up of tiny little Lego bricks. And every single piece in that model is needed. every tiny Lego brick is needed and plays a part in that model. If there was one piece missing, there would be more strain on the other pieces around it. If there was one piece that wasn't there, the model wouldn't look quite right. It wouldn't look the way that it's supposed to. And when Jesus said that he would build his church, he is putting us with tender care, moulding us and shaping us and putting us where he wants to be, connecting us together. Not like forcing us into a space where we don't fit, like children ramming pieces of Lego together, desperately trying to fit a Duplo on a Star Wars. It's not going to happen. God is fitting us together with tenderness and care and placing us in his family and making us part of his temple, where we are supported by others and where we support others in turn. And Paul said this, when we get together, I want to encourage you in your faith, but I also want to be encouraged by yours. So it's a mutual thing. It's a two-way street. We support each other and we are supported. It's like it works both ways. Just like we heard in Denny and Matt this morning, the family fortunes, the family, there is love and support and encouragement in the family as God joins us together. In God's garden, I am productive. So having discovered my identity, I know who I am, and supported by others, I can flourish, I can bear fruit, I can be productive in the garden where God has placed me. And Jesus put it like this, he said, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. So in God's garden, we find our purpose. It's to remain in Jesus. It's not a productivity that we have to strive for. It's simply a remaining. It's simply being where God has placed us and staying in the love of Jesus. I remember as a child, I was always touching things. I was always fiddling, often breaking things. And my parents would say to me, for goodness sake, put that back where you found it. So one day we had a leak under our bath. I was about 5 years old. And my dad had to come and fix the bath. So he had to unscrew the bath panel. He's fiddling around under there all morning, fixing the leak. So while he's doing it, I noticed that his torch is under the bath. So that's quite exciting, a torch, isn't it, when you're five? So I went and got the torch. I was fiddling around with the torch. Dad finished the plumbing, sorted out the leak, screwed the bath panel back on the bath. Helen, where's my torch? I put it back where I found it. It's under the bath. The bath panel is now screwed back up. The torch is stuck under the bath. So the one time I put something back where I found it, it would have been better if I hadn't. But Jesus places us where we belong. He knows where we need to be. He knows that we are productive, that we are most productive when we are with him. And I was asking some people as well what it meant to them to belong to the church. And someone said this, in my experience, it has been the place where God has blessed me most and provided most opportunities to grow. So when we are here, when we are in the vine, when we are part of the church, we are productive, we bear fruit, we flourish, and we can grow. And it's not something that we have to strive or strain to do. It is a simple remaining. If you've got a fruit tree in your garden, maybe you've got an apple tree in your garden, you look out the window, now it's finally got blossom on it. The apple tree isn't standing there going, apples, 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 apples. The tree doesn't have to work to produce the fruit because that's what it is naturally designed to do. So when we are in the place where we are naturally designed to be, which is in the vine, in the garden of God, we produce fruit, we flourish. It will just happen because we're where God has placed us to be. There's no need for us to strive. And what kind of fruit can we produce? We produce love. We love God as we appreciate all that he has done for us as our Father. We grow in love for one another. And the love that we share together is then revealing God to others who don't yet know him. So as we remain in God and are obedient to him, our love attracts other people who will also become our brothers and sisters. And God's glory draws people to him, and his love brings people together. In God's garden, we live out our purpose to remain in his love and to love others. Bill Hybels, the Willow Man, said this. He said, "The local church is the hope of the world. The church is where hope is. We have the answers among us. This church, this body, this family, the garden, the temple, is the hope for our friends and family, our neighbours, the local community around us. Because the church is going to last. The church is going to last forever." It says this in Ephesians, "Glory belongs to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever." So there are two things that bring glory to God. The first is Jesus, his son, and the second is the church. So that's all of us. So who we are brings glory to God. Isn't that fantastic? Well, what a great message we have, that we are made by God to bring glory to him through all generations. So everyone who has gone before us and everyone who is yet to come, it is a generational thing. All the generations designed and purposed to bring glory to God in the church. So we find our identity as part of God's family. We're supported by others and support others as part of his temple. And we're productive and in God's garden. So if we belong to the church already, what can we do? Well, we can continue to cherish the church, to cherish it, to love the church, because it's us. If we love the church, we are loving each other. And if we love the church, we are loving God and appreciating him. If we don't belong yet to the church, then hopefully this morning some of this has encouraged you to want to belong, to find out more about the family of God, to want to join in. Maybe you want to get baptized if you haven't been yet, or you want to join the church and become a member, then speak to Suzanne or Adam or a small group leader. But wherever we are, an encouragement to join in where we're at. Because we learn our identity, we have that security in God, and we are productive, not just to benefit ourselves, but for the benefit of other people around us. When we lived in Uganda, we were part of Africa Renewal Ministries, and in Uganda there was a growing problem with little babies who had been abandoned. So Africa Renewal Ministries started a new project, and they called it Loving Hearts Babies Home. And this babies home was a place where abandoned babies would come, and they would be taken care of whilst they were waiting either to be placed back into their extended family or adopted into a new family. So over the last few years, 24 children have either been placed with extended family of their own in Uganda, they've been adopted within Uganda, or they've been adopted overseas. And Pastor Peter, who is the head of Africa Renewal Ministries, he was speaking to us over Easter a few months ago, and he was traveling in the US, and he told us how he had gone to the new home of one of the children who had come from Loving Hearts Babies Home. And this little boy is called Caleb. And he'd gone to Caleb's new house in America and met his family. And he'd seen Caleb outside playing in the garden with his new brothers and sisters. Pastor Peter had eaten with the family, shared with them, and he was looking at their photographs on the wall. It's all family pictures. Caleb is now in them. And then he saw one particular photograph, and it was a picture of Caleb, and he was sitting in the cockpit of an aeroplane. And Peter said to Caleb, what's this, Caleb? What are you doing here? And Caleb, all chuffed and proud, said, I'm sitting in the cockpit of my dad's plane. So there is Caleb, who has been adopted into the family and is sharing in the amazing blessings and abundance of that home that he has gone into. And that's like each one of us. When we are belonging to God, God has so much blessing for us. He promises an abundant life. He promises the equivalent of sitting us in the cockpit of his own private plane. God wants to spoil us because he cherishes us, he treasures us, and he wants to lavish his love upon us. So we have been adopted into his family. He is our Father God, and we are designed and created by him to enjoy all the good things that he has to offer us. So as we read on in our books this week, What on Earth Am I Here For?, we're going to be reading more and talking more in our small groups about how God has made us to belong, how he has formed us for his family. So I really encourage you to keep reading the book this week. It's been really good, hasn't it? I know I feel so encouraged every day with whatever it is that I'm reading. So as we journey on together in this coming week, we'll be looking more together about what it means to belong. So let's belong. Let's all do it, because it's the right thing for us to do and because it's really good for us. God knows what he's doing when he places us. When he says, you are in the vine, remain in me, says Jesus, because he knows what's good for us and he knows the best place for us to be. And we are a called people and we are called to belong to God. It's a precious thing, isn't it? So let's treasure it. And let's pray as we finish. Father God, I thank you that you have called us to belong to you. Thank you that you paid a great price for us and that you treasure us. Thank you that we are supported and included, that no one is left out. There is no one who doesn't fit. Thank you, God, that we belong to you and that you are our Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen.